From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, founded his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, It Becomes Mutual. The text is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here is a mutual interest. Each belongs to each. God is the portion of his people, and the chosen people are the portion of their God. The saints find in God their chief possession, and he reckons them to be his peculiar treasure. What a mine of comfort lies in this fact for each believer! This happy condition of mutual interest leads to mutual consideration. God will always think of his own people, and they will always think of him. This day my God will perform all things for me. What can I do for him? My thoughts ought to run toward him, for he thinketh upon me. Let me make sure that it is so, and not be content with merely admitting that so it ought to be. This again leads to mutual fellowship. God dwells in us, and we dwell in him. He walks with us, and we walk with God. Happy communion this! Oh, for grace to treat the Lord as my God, to trust him and to serve him as his Godhead deserves. Oh, that I could love, worship, adore, and obey Jehovah in spirit and in truth. This is my heart's desire. When I shall attain to it, I shall have found my heaven. Lord, help me. Be my God in helping me to know thee as my God, for Jesus' sake.
To receive.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit, part of this series on the person and work of the Holy Ghost. There are three texts for the message, Acts chapter 5, verse 9, Ephesians 4, verse 30, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. The first text recounts the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, a sin which involved hypocrisy, but also affected the entire church's well-being by robbing it of needed resources. The second text in Ephesians 4 warns believers against sins which grieve the Holy Spirit, sins such as lying and stealing. As Dr. Cairns will show, there is more to these sins than appears on the surface. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit.
Can I say just in passing, there's one thing that you ought to be very careful about stealing. And that is a man's reputation. Be very careful about stealing a man's good name. It's grieving to God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt communication, no communication that has the mark of the pit about it. Now I think the Lord has created us as entire people. I think I can prove that from the Bible. I don't think you've got to be one of those misanthropic characters that has to imagine that a sense of humor was somehow created by the devil. And there's no place in a Christian. I don't believe in that kind of Christianity. But I do believe in this, that there are certain things you don't joke about. When I heard on tape the words of one of America's leading fundamental preachers saying that he's such a sports nut that he prays in the name of Roger Staubach, God the Father, God the Son, and Roger Staubach, I want to tell you, that's a corrupt communication. When he puts the blood of Jesus Christ in the same sentence with a cheese whopper as things that he specially loves, I want to tell you, that's a corrupt communication. That's a vile thing. A vicious thing. I've heard preachers, maybe those with an extremely sharp sense of humor are more at risk here. I've heard preachers, and their jokes ultimately come to center on the person or the work or a miracle or something of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a corrupt communication. There are certain things that you don't joke about. Not only that, there are those things that the world takes for granted that they ought never to be part of a believer's vocabulary. We live in an age of the greatest laxity in morals and corrupt communications, things that are especially communications between the sexes, ought to be very, very carefully guarded with the modesty of the Spirit of Christ. You ladies, and I thank God that, to my knowledge, I have no ground for complaint on this, or in this area, in this church. I thank God for that, for I know many other churches where there are grounds for complaint. But you ladies, ever be very careful that in appearance, in demeanor, in look, in action, and in word, you maintain strict modesty. And you men never transgress into the area of corrupt communication. Music halls of the world are full of it. Let us therefore grieve not the Spirit in this way. Now these are some of the things. If time permitted, you could go into Galatians 5, look at 19. You'll see the works of the flesh, which are manifest. And they are the opposite to the fruit of the Spirit. They are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Now we are particularly told, do not grieve the Holy Ghost. The word grieve means injure. Or it has the meaning of insult. Obviously, again, it's the Holy Spirit's work in the church that is particularly before us. We cannot injure the essence of eternal deity. But we can injure that work that the Holy Spirit is doing in and through His church. When we are guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit, what we are doing is we are causing a removal of the sweet influences and manifestations of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are breaking down fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We are putting distance between us and the Lord. There is an awful picture of this, you know, in the book of Ezekiel. The Church of Christ would do well to remember that repeated grieving of the Spirit is what leads to total apostasy. It's what leads to total destruction. As far as our usefulness to God is concerned, you look in the book of Ezekiel and you have the vision of the departing glory. It used to be central in the whole work and witness of the church, but little by little by little, the Spirit of God is removing Himself and He's more and more at a distance. This is what happens when Christians And churches grieve the Holy Ghost by sin. It's a cause for blasphemy in others. What an insult to the sanctifier when those who profess to be His sanctified ones are living in flagrant sin, grieving to the Spirit. Men and women, there are many, many things that are important to us in this church. Many things. But I want to tell you, most important of all is the presence and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God, who is well signified under the symbol of the dove, if the Spirit of God is driven away, grieved out of our lives, grieved out of our service, then we're in sad shape indeed. Grieve not the Spirit. And finally, not only have we tempting the Spirit and grieving the Spirit, but quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. The word quench means what you'd expect it to mean. It means to extinguish or to repress. Now here, we just have a personal word for each of us individually for start. Be very careful about your personal whims and attributing them to the Holy Spirit. Be very careful about just saying, well, the Spirit told me this and the Lord told me that and the Lord told me another thing. If I were to believe all that Christians say the Lord told them to do, the Lord would be far from the immutable God. He'd be the most changeable being imaginable. Every whim, they say the Lord tells them. Be careful about making such claims. The Lord can give you a burden of heart through His Word, through prayer. His Spirit will lead. He will direct your paths if you acknowledge Him in all your ways. And when the Holy Ghost, not your whims, when the Holy Ghost moves you, listen, never try to repress that work. That's dangerous and foolish. When I look back to the time God called me into the ministry of the Free Church, I have to thank the Lord for His mercy and His long-suffering. But when the Lord spoke to me in a very, very remarkable way, for the next 2 weeks, I really quenched the Spirit. Now, I didn't think I was quenching the Spirit. I said, Lord, do it again. Do it again. As if the experience itself would in some way confirm the word of the Spirit. Those 2 weeks were weeks of misery, darkness, despair. And that's the way the rest of my life would have been had it not been for very wise words from my minister, Bert Cook. It's difficult for us to imagine just how sore a ruin it is for a Christian to repress, to extinguish the movings of the Spirit of God. That word extinguish, of course, does raise the idea of fire. And fire and the Holy Spirit in Scripture are closely identified. Acts 2, for example. And couldn't we well say here when it says quench not the Spirit, never try to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now we don't want wild fire, we don't want spurious fire, we don't want man-made counterfeits. But on the other hand, neither do we want a cold, lifeless farce that calls itself Christianity. Oh, we have got to be so full of decorum in church We have this stupid notion, and I say that honestly, it is stupid. Oh, I understand where it came from, and I can understand the good intentions that give rise to it, but nonetheless, it's a man-made stupidity that draws the distinction between a worship service and a gospel service. And you can't sing too hard on a Sunday morning, that's a worship service. Can't throw your head back and put your chest out and fill your lungs with air and really give God the glory. You dare say hallelujah on a Sunday morning, that's a worship service. Man, where did we ever come to that sort of pass? Man-made nonsense. You see, our decorum can ultimately come to be just a nicely colored shroud to cover the corpse of a dead church. Never think that a nice choir, and I like to have a good choir, but never think that a nice choir and high class music and a lovely form of service and everybody feeling aesthetically fulfilled is Christianity. Not. And what's more, however much it may be of peripheral value, it can never be of the essence of Bible Christianity. If we don't have the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter what you have. You can have the best preachers, the nicest singers, you can have it all. If you don't have the Spirit of God there, it's dead. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. How can we do that? How can we put out the fire? You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you'll find that the surrounding texts will show that you put out the fire by rebelling against the leading of the Lord and not accepting with praise His providential dispensations. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. When God is dealing, as we were singing this morning, in such a way that we cannot see, we're not willing to sing by faith and trust the leading of the Lord, but rather rebelliously we would try to have our own way. I want to tell you, that is putting out the fire of the Spirit. You look at verse 18 again. There's an emphasis on prayer with praise. The neglect of prayer and thanksgiving, that puts out the fire of the Spirit of God. Where do churches first lose out with God? In their prayer meetings. That's where they first lose out. When we get used to the prayer meeting and we just come and go, and then we come less and less and less until finally prayer meeting is a dead meeting. Might I tell you, if we lose the fire of God in our prayer meeting, we have lost the fire of God, period. Gone. Don't put out the fire in the prayer meeting.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.